From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Will the House of Representatives impeach Donald Trump? That seems increasingly likely after Speaker Nancy Pelosi supports an official impeachment inquiry and Democrats sprint to assemble evidence about a whistleblower allegation of abuse of office. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal opinion pages with my colleagues Bill McGurn. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Paul.
And Kim Strassel.
Hey, Kim. Hi, Paul.
So, folks, what a difference a week makes. Last week at this time, the story, we were still trying to sort out the facts of a murky telephone call that Donald Trump told and what he told on the call of on July 25th to Ukraine's president, Volodymyr Zelensky. Now, a week later, we've all seen the transcript. We've seen a memo from the whistleblower complaint that was murky a week ago, and Democrats seem all but decided on impeaching Mr. Trump for what they call an abuse of office. So let's try to dissect the politics of this, dissect some of the merits. I have to say, and I don't know if the two of you agree with me, but as I look at the evidence so far and took a look at the transcript, Kim, and the whistleblower complaint, I see some things that bother me. I think some things that show a certain recklessness, perhaps, if confirmed, and bad judgment. And in one respect, bad policy if, in fact, the president did suspend military aid to Ukraine for a period. That's not confirmed yet, by the way, or how that might have happened. That's an allegation in the whistleblower complaint. But other than that, I don't see something that I would describe as so grave that you should impeach a president.
I totally agree with that. You know, do we wish Donald Trump had just not mentioned Joe Biden's name in the course of that conversation? Absolutely. Do we wish that Rudy Giuliani were not out kind of freelancing as the president's personal lawyer and pushing the Ukrainians to investigate? I wish that were not the case either. But an impeachable offense, the bar for that is very, very high. And here's what we know. There's no criminal conduct here. It was actually reviewed by the Department of Justice and said there was no campaign finance violation involved with this. There was no quid pro quo. One thing that I think is really notable, it got missed from a couple of days ago, but the New York Times reported that the Ukrainians did not even know that the aid was being withheld until a month after this conversation took place. So how can you be threatening them when, you know, I mean, they were not even, but how can you be saying, here, I'll release the aid to you if you do this digging, when they didn't even know the aid hadn't been held up,
And of course, the aid is currently flowing.
Right, is currently flowing. And so, you know, what do we have here? We have a president who probably, you know, shouldn't have said what he said. Never a good look. And it's certainly not wise to provide what is now well known as a number of hostile actors, even in the White House, against this president. Don't provide anybody any ammunition like this, because here's where we end up. But impeachable, no.
But Bill, on the point about the withdrawing aid, I mean, the argument is that the president invited the Ukraine, he said to the Ukrainians, please look into this corruption in Ukraine and what happened in 2016. And then he mentioned Biden and Biden's help, Biden's intervention to get a prosecutor fired who was investigating Hunter Biden, his son's a company he was affiliated with. I think that is not ideal, as Kim said, but the only thing that really kind of rises to that makes me really that bothers me a lot is this point about the aid, if that was indeed suspended.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think what you were saying before, first of all, as I think we said in the editorial, impeachment is overturning the results of an election, right? So it's a very high bar, because the American people have spoken, and you're saying, and it's sort of extraordinary to me to put the emphasis on impeachment now when you have an election in scarcely a year. Why not wait and vote the bum out of office if you don't like him and you think that the case against him is strong? I think my understanding is, you know, the call has been interpreted by Democrats as we won't give you money unless you come up with dirt on Joe Biden. And as you point out, that's not actually what the translation, it's a little more disjointed than that. It says, I want you to look into the 2016 election. So I think the worst interpretations, they may be possible interpretations, but they're not at all proved that that's exactly what happened. There are other explanations that are more innocent in doing it. And of course, he was kind of all over the place and in different subjects, right? With Rudy and Bill Barr.
In a very Trumpian fashion.
Right, right. So I think it's a very flimsy grounds to proceed. And I don't know what remember, one of the things that's interesting to me is that when this came up, the Wall Street Journal, I think, was one of the first out of the box to say, look, it's a bad precedent when presidents have to release their phone calls and make public their talks with foreign leaders, but probably it would be better for Donald Trump to do so. And he did. And the complaint is out there. And that's very different, that kind of accountability, from what, for example, Joe Biden does. You know, people ask him a question on what you raised on his dealings with this gas company, and he attacks the reporters, and Mrs. Pelosi declares an impeachment without having a full House vote. The process is very, it's just interesting how the different sides are treating it.
Well, but of course, as we all know, impeachment and the definition of high crimes and misdemeanors in the Constitution is really whatever the House of Representatives says it is. It's fundamentally a political act. It is not a legal act. You don't have to break a law. And ultimately, as a political act, it will have to be sold promoted or justified politically. And Nancy Pelosi seems to have concluded that it is politically riskier to not go ahead with a vote at this stage than it would be to proceed. It's a fascinating political judgment, Kim. I'm not quite sure. I guess she must have decided that more of her members were getting pressure for Democratic primaries if they didn't pursue it. But she is putting at risk some of her swing district members. So what a lot is going to depend on is how the political debate about this impeachment, the vote, the charges, and so on, how it plays out. That's just fundamental here. This is going to be a big political battle to sway public opinion.
Yeah, that's what we saw happen this week. I have no doubt that Nancy Pelosi probably still believes that an impeachment inquiry and an impeachment vote is a very bad idea, that it is very risky. But what we saw happen was that the activist left, which has been aching for impeachment and frustrated that they didn't get it with Russia collusion or obstruction of justice. When this Ukraine issue dropped, they jumped all over it. And you could see it on social media. You could see it in the press releases that were coming out. The message was to Ms. Pelosi and to these freshman Democrats, you need to get on board with this or you're going to lose our support. You're going to face primary challenges from the left in your districts. This is a moment. Don't let it pass. And once a couple of those freshman Democrats moved over to saying that they were open to it, Mrs. Pelosi really had no choice but to move too. And so now, yeah, here we go with the politics. And you are already seeing both sides doing this. You know, the Trump campaign was out there bragging about the millions of dollars that it has raised in the couple of days since this was announced. You have Democrats trying to fundraise off this too. It's going to be a war of trying to control the narrative and to say whether or not this is good for Democrats or good for Trump or bad or whatever.
We're talking about the looming impeachment of Donald J. Trump, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Jugot with Bill McGurn and Kim Strassel. So, Bill, you've heard us talking about the Democratic political imperative here. What do you make of the president's response here? Because at certain times he seemed to welcome some time back. Yeah, go ahead, make my day, impeach me. But I think he's been taken aback this week with the rapidity of what has happened. And you know, you've told me many times, no president wants to be impeached, right, even if the politics end up working in their favor. Democrats famously gained seats in 1998 election, midterm elections, when Republicans were moving to impeach Bill Clinton. But they went ahead anyway after the election and impeached him. And I don't think he likes that scar on his legacy.
On the other hand, he's sort of, for a man who's been impeached, has a good reputation, not necessarily with me, but is regarded as an elder statesman. I mean, I think you can argue that Clinton came out of it stronger, even though it is a stain to be one of only two presidents impeached. I think the politics are, look, my boss, George Bush, said in Iraq, famously, bring it on. And, you know, and no one really wants to see it brought on when they were talking about Iraq and the fight. I think the interesting thing now is one of the dangers of having the majority in one house is it can create a false sense of reality. I don't see how they're going to get, if the questions that you raised about the substance that I think aren't clear, I don't see how they're going to get the 67 votes they need in the Senate in Mitch McConnell, even if three or four go the other way. I just don't see that that's happening. And I think one of the lessons of impeachment, certainly from the Clinton thing, is if you're going to do it, because by doing this, Nancy Pelosi has identified her Congress as the impeachment Congress, right? They're not going to, they've given up on an agenda. They're going to be debating this and trying to impeach Trump. If they don't kill the king, he's stronger, I think, from
well,
it. So I don't think that Trump wants it, right? Because that's a lot to go through, and it's a big risk. You're betting the house. But I think he could come out stronger if they don't do it.
Well, just to remind people of the process, the House of Representatives has the sole power to impeach a president, and then the articles of impeachment, if they are voted by a majority, move to the Senate. And the Senate conducts a trial with Chief Justice John Roberts presiding, and there will be witnesses. The House will have prosecuting attorneys, in essence, make the case for the articles of impeachment, whatever those turn out to be. And then the president will have his representatives and legal representatives make the case against them. And you get a vote in the Senate. It requires two-thirds of the Senate. That would be 67 senators to be able to oust a president. The only president who's come close was Andrew Johnson after he was impeached, I think within a vote or two.
One vote, I think.
One vote. And then Richard Nixon, of course, resigned after he was impeached before the Senate held a trial. But this was after he was told by senators he probably would have lost in the Senate. So that's the process. A long way from that, obviously. Although I don't think anybody should underestimate the degree, the speed with which the Democrats are moving here. I think they are inclined to move here, Kim, within the next couple of months, certainly before the end of the year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they hope to move even more rapidly than that, because they think this has a nice little, this episode, they can tie together the facts, charge abuse of power, make it an understandable charge to the American public, and make the case, and then sell it.
Well, right. That's a goal now that they've decided to pull the pin, as it were, and go down this road. They want to have the theater and the drama leading into the election, and they're going to need that time to sell it, too. And one reason that I think we don't know, and I just want to add this, that we don't really know how this is going to play, is because of the lack of specificity on the Democratic side and the lack of accountability so far in terms of impeachment. They're not following that process that you laid out there. They have not had a vote on the floor of the House to authorize a formal impeachment inquiry. The Judiciary Committee, which is normally tagged with doing these things, proceedings has not specified any enumerated articles of impeachment, and those are the actual documents and words that spell out exactly what it is that the president is accused of having done that rises to an impeachable offense. And I think that this actually matters, because if they're going to go through this process, what those specific articles are that they send on to the Senate is going to play a huge amount in how this is viewed by the public and how it's viewed by Republican senators. And, you know, the impulse of this Democratic Party has been to overstep. We'll see what they do here.
Well, and just to elaborate on that, in the Nixon case, the House of Representatives on the floor had a vote to direct the Judiciary Committee to undertake an impeachment inquiry of Richard Nixon in charges related to Watergate. The vote, 410-4. That's a pretty big bipartisan vote. The vote for the similar vote when the Republican House voted to impeach start an inquiry into Bill Clinton was, I think, 258-176, something like that. Again, 31 Democrats voted for that. Now, that wasn't the final vote for impeachment. That was an articles, but that was to start an inquiry. We've not even had that kind of a vote on the House floor to start an inquiry, which is interesting. I think that Nancy Pelosi hasn't been willing to do this. And sooner or later, I think they're going to have to lay it out in detail. And the big question mark, I think, for her is, if you do impeachment on a partisan basis, Bill, it's just naturally less credible to the American public. And if you want to know how that works out, ask Newt Gingrich, who lost his speakership because of it.
Right. And you can ask Jerry Nadler, or at least Jerry Nadler of a year ago, because he was quite frank on several occasions when asked about this. He said, look, it's overturning an election. And the high bar is that when we move for impeachment, we have to persuade Trump voters. He said voters, not necessarily senators, but the voters, people that voted for him, that the transgressions are so large that, yes, we need to impeach. I don't think we're anywhere near that, which is why I think Mrs. Pelosi doesn't want to have the vote. And that brings up a second point. I mean, impeachment, the good thing about the way our Constitution works is that it basically gives you powers, but it puts attaches some accountability on it, right? Go on the record. It's not required in the Constitution that she have this vote to authorize, but it has been the tradition, and it's been a good tradition because it forces that accountability. It forces people to really make the decision. I'm not even sure they're going to have the powers of impeachment. You know, when you impeach, impeachment powers are different from oversight powers. Right?
Well, they are, in the sense that there's no doubt about the right in the Constitution to do it, and courts have interpreted the impeachment process as giving Congress, frankly, more authority to get documents
as a judicial proceeding.
Right,
so they have more authority. So I don't know. Now, a court could say it's up to the House to set its own rules, and it's not for us to decide. But then you're really leaving it up. Is it really going to be the case that just if the House says, well, this is an impeachment inquiry, the Speaker, and this isn't, that's going to suffice? I don't know. It's going to raise a lot of questions. And what we have now is a lack of accountability. She either didn't have the votes to do this, or she thought, if I had the votes, I would jeopardize some of those 30-something, 40-something Democrats in Trump districts that might be endangered by this.
Kim,
please. Just add something here. So actually, and this is really important, that she has the votes. There are now 223 House Democrats on the record supporting an impeachment inquiry. So she could be holding this vote today. And I think it's very revealing that she's not and hasn't set a date for it. And the answer is that she's got 12 holdouts still. And 11 of them represent districts that Trump carried in 2016. And 11 of them most of them are facing very tough races. And so while she's got the votes to pass the majority on this, she only needs 218, it would be embarrassing for the Democrats. And I think that this gets to the politics, embarrassing to hold a vote in which even the entire Democratic Party won't vote for this to go forward.
So I see. So it's far from, instead of doing what the Republicans did in 1998 and what the Democrats did in 1974 and build a bipartisan vote for the behind the inquiry, no matter how later the actual impeachment vote turned out. You're saying, Kim, that Pelosi fears she might not even have all of her own caucus much and might not pick up any Republicans.
Correct. These are guys like Ron Kind in Wisconsin, Joe Cunningham in South Carolina, Kendra Horn in Oklahoma, Max Rose in New York, out in Staten Island. And, you know, they've now had days that they could have got on board. And indeed, most of the caucus has. The fact that they have not suggests that they may not. And that would be an embarrassment for her to hold a vote.
So I guess that the what they're going to do now going forward is attempt to tease out whatever they can about the whistleblower from the whistleblower, probably have that whistleblower testify on Capitol Hill. We still don't know at this juncture as we're taping this who that person is. Try to get documents and other witnesses to testify about the suspension of aid, and then anything else that seems relevant to try to convince those votes and convince public opinion. But I'm already seeing some overkill by Democrats when they say Nancy Pelosi, for example, saying this is a cover up. They're trying to cover up the facts when. It's hard to make that case for cover-up when they're providing all the documents for the world to see, even including documents that could be subject under the law to executive privilege.
Right. No, and look, it's all about the lack of accountability. That's I think that's the problem. I think they're hoping that they will generate some information from the inquiries to justify the decision later, and that public opinion will grow further and further for impeachment. But they don't have it now. The public is clearly not with them on this issue. And they're hoping that the drumbeat, the constant talk of it will do it. Look, let's remember, Mrs. Pelosi launched the official impeachment inquiry, as she calls it, before she saw the transcript, before we had the complaint. It's sort of, you know, facts later, impeachment first.
All right. But this is going to start really rapidly, Kim, briefly, is it not? I mean, they're going to gin this up very soon.
I think it's going to move very fast at this point. I mean, look, I think it could go either way. It's either going to go really fast or it's going to stall. I still think it's notable that she hasn't held a vote. She has deputized six different committees to continue doing their investigations. We're having new subpoenas come out. So we'll see if this is really the rush toward the finish line or if this is going to just be a lot more investigation and talk of impeachment, a faux impeachment drama. Well, she may still be hedging her bets.
All right. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more editions of Impeachment Potomac Watch.